Oh, yeah, that's us. We're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610, broadcasting live from the Houston Methodist Training Center. Day two of Texans Training Camp 2025 in the books. In fact, we're watching groundskeeping happening on these luscious Bermuda grass fields.
They look like you could eat on them.
Why was that where your brain went?
Because they're so clean.
Like, let's examine that.
They're so clean,
so,
man.
So you just be eating off of grass, huh?
You could.
Clean grass.
I'm not saying I will.
Why are you the way that you are?
I don't know.
Okay.
As long as
you recognize that. as you can tell, we're having fun out here. We are having fun getting some things done. And we were just talking about Hulk Hogan passing. And somebody, I mean, a number of people have done the thing where they go, these things happen in threes.
Yeah.
Obviously, Ozzy Osbourne passes recently. Malcolm Jamal Warner. Does that count?
No, all due respect.
No.
No, we're talking mega stars.
Oh, wow. So you're going to be disrespectful to Malcolm Jamal?
I guess you can call it that.
That is what you're doing.
He's a star. He's not Hulk Hogan and Ozzy Osbourne. Who's the next mega RIP that we're going to have to mention?
I want you to understand. I'm not saying you have to change your mind. I want you to understand that what you're saying is you are still waiting for someone else to die.
Yes.
Okay. Yes, I am.
Yeah.
You just co-signed that straight up.
And I am not alone. Would you open the text board?
No, I'm not asking people if you want someone to die. I'm not doing that on the airwaves right now. What I will do on these airwaves, again, I mentioned day two of training camp done. So let's hear from the head coach of the Houston Texans, D'Amico Ryans. What were his thoughts after another day of Texans training camp?
My biggest takeaway from today was very competitive on both sides of the ball. You saw, see offense making some plays there in the passing game and, bust a run open there, and defense, right, really competing, making plays as well. I think the highlight of the day for me was Petrie, all right, being in a really good spot to intercept the football. He's been a guy who's been very consistent for us, no matter where we put him, what we've asked him to do. He's just, my type of player. He's all over the field, always up for the challenge. Whatever the down is, like, he's going to be around the football making plays, and it was evident today.
Yes. You coached and played with a lot of great athletes. Is D'Amico Hunter and you're like top five type of guys as far as like y'all being a specimen and all those things?
Yeah, D'Amico is a man, very special athlete. I wish I can find a way to get the muscles that he has. Right, he's definitely a guy who's one thing that stands out about D'Amico. This guy, man, he works. In the offseason, like, he puts in the work to take care of his body the right way, and it's a testament to him, and hopefully younger guys are watching, just what does it take to be a guy who's in his position and the caliber of player that he is. It's like, he's definitely one of the top athletes that I've seen, but not just an athlete. The guy plays with strength, he's smart, really great technician, and he's a really great teacher because he's doing a great job of teaching other defensive linemen how to use their hands properly.
Yesterday you mentioned delegating this year. How did you come to that, and how far does that go? Does that mean like allowing other people to call defensive plays, or what does that look like?
Delegating for me, it looks like a lot of different things. It's just understanding I'm one person, and I just relinquishing a lot of trust and giving a lot of trust to others to handle many things, and it's not just about play calling. There's a lot of duties that are on my plate that I give others just to see how they can grow. So as part of me as a leader, I think as a leader, you're tasked to grow and develop other leaders. So with that, you have to put people in positions to allow them to lead. And sometimes that's stepping aside and seeing them grow and being okay with the mistakes, knowing that mistakes and things will happen, but that's how you learn from it. That's how I learn best from being in the various positions that I had. Someone gave me an opportunity to do that and allow me to fail, where I learned a lot of lessons, which allowed me to be better at what I'm doing.
When did you kind of have that revelation that you kind of need to delegate more and give people a chance to learn and make mistakes and grow from the
team? I don't think it was a revelation. It's something I've always knew and seen. It's just a matter of time and seeing when the right time is to do that.
It's the second year of having Neil and Will kind of pairing together. They obviously had a lot of success. How can they even improve with
your team? With D'Amico and Will, they just have to continue to be themselves, right? Really improve on the small things, and that's really finishing at the top of the rush. For a lot of times we've been in the backfield. When I talk about finishing, I'm talking about finishing on the football. Like, how many fumbles can we force as opposed to just sacks? We want to take the football away to put our offense in a good spot. So can we improve in that manner with the rushing? Not just Will, Daniil, but it's all of our rushers.
What do you like, what you've seen from Woody Marks both in the spring and this summer this far?
Yeah, Woody is, he stepped in and he's a very quiet guy, and he's efficient, right? He's a smart player. We put a lot on him, and he's handled it all really well. So I'm excited to see Woody actually put the pads on and see him go, you know, against our guys out here, and also to see him in live action, see how he's done. But Woody's done a great job so far.
Coach, what you made of what Solomon Bird was able to do in the offseason workouts and a couple of days of training? Solomon Bird.
Okay.
What have you been able to make of him through offseason workouts and then through a couple of days of training
camp? Yeah, Solomon, it really started for me. I saw Solomon start to peak in our OTA practices. I saw a guy who kind of finished up how he had that last one of his reps versus Tennessee, you know, at the end of the year where he finished up sack fumble on a quarterback. And he, man, since he came back this offseason, he's been doing a really great job. Now, he's consistently been in the backfield. No matter who he's going against, he's done a really great job of working his technique, really getting off the football in a violent manner, really playing faster. And that's one thing I see from him. He's playing faster. He's not thinking. And now, you know, he's becoming a better player because of that. And I think year two, it slows down for everybody, right? And Solomon has definitely benefited from having some experience his first year, seeing, you know, what we expect of him. And now he's really flourishing now in camp.
Balancing, the first 2 years you said those are over, and now you're moving on. How do you balance building on that, or are you still not marking on
that? Yeah, for me, it's. I understand very quickly about our first 2 years, like with the success that we had. Like, yeah, it was great, but you have to forget that very quickly because, to me, again, it doesn't predict, it doesn't really guarantee what's going to happen now. And every year, I tell our coaches, I tell our players this, every year the team changes. You're going to have some additions to your team each and every year. So it's all about how does that puzzle fit together? How quickly can we come together? Can we connect as a 2025 Texans? Like, I truly believe that. So if I'm harping on what we did in 24, that won't allow me to fully commit and fully dedicate myself to building this team, this roster in a manner that we need to be to go out and be great. And it'll be a growth process, right? We won't just tell you, don't just start off where you ended last year in the playoffs. There's a lot of work that goes into getting back to that moment. It's not just guaranteed to you. So how bad do these guys want it? How bad do our coaches want it? We got to put in the work to put ourselves in that position. It's going to be, you know, one day at a time, one game at a time, and we'll see where we end up.
Yesterday you saw reps on the right side, today you saw reps on the left side. Just the importance of him learning both positions throughout the early stages of training camp.
With our offensive line, you'll see a lot of guys moving around different positions, different spots. We're just trying to find the best combination of where those guys will play. And you also know at different times of the year, sometimes you lose guys, especially at the tackle position. That's one where you have to be able to, what we call, have the swing tackle, where you can play right, you can play left. You know, especially if you're a backup player, you're either interior player or you're playing on the edge. So you have to be able to know multiple spots. And that's one thing that a lot of people don't know about the game. We take 53 guys on our roster. You take 46 guys at a game. Like, those backup players are so valuable because it's unseen, but those guys have to know multiple spots. And they're counted on to know those spots without getting as many reps as the starters. So it's really, you know, a credit to all the guys who are backup players in the league, like knowing what's on their plate, what's expected of them when they get in the game and get action and get the reps. They have to be on it mentally even better than the starters. So it's a lot that's on guys' plate when you are those type of players, and I always tip my hat to guys who are in those positions.
That's a little interesting. He felt like he matured almost off season. For a guy who's already, it seems like he's ahead of age, how have you kind of seen that?
Yeah, Will is definitely, I think, mature for his age. He's always felt very mature for his age. Even our first time interviewing him on his 30 visit, like, for him, he sat down in a room and he really commanded the room, had all great answers. So to see a guy like that is still in his mind looking to grow, looking to become a better, not only player, but a better man off the field, you know, it doesn't surprise me because that's who Will is.
As a coach, this year in the spring, you mentioned Justin Watson as impressive and stand out for you in the offseason. Tell me how you're seeing him here.
Justin's been the same. What I like about it, he's consistent. Right? Every day he shows up, he's consistent. He's exactly where he's supposed to be, getting the proper route depth. Plays with great hands. He plays multiple spots, really smart player. So, he's just consistent, and that's a lot to be said. You know, that's what being a pro is about. It's about being consistent, knowing who you are, showing up every single day, and not wavering, and that's who Justin is.
I
think when it comes to when you're looking at a defensive unit, right, you want to apply pressure as much as possible, right? You want to be a heavy pressure team, but to truly affect the game, and that does affect the game, but to truly change the game, like if you turn those pressures, not only in the sacks, but the sack fumble. That's the big play that changes the game for us. Like, a lot of people have the sack stat very rated very highly, but if you're pressuring the quarterback and the coverage is right and you're forcing him to throw inerrant throws, forcing the quarterback to make the bad decisions, to me that pressure can turn into interceptions. It can turn into, you know, bad at passes. So it all plays together. But it starts with just having the mindset of guys just playing together, rushing together, and then if you can get the quarterback down, yeah, we want to get the quarterback down, but most importantly, take the football away.
As you're seeing, if you're given more responsibility, what do you see?
Nick is just, only my fourth day with Nick, and he's done everything we've asked him to do. Like, he's a pro. Like, Nick has been the same guy. I've always admired Nick from when he was back at Georgia playing. I mean, always admired him, and it's no different. I can see why the guy has been good in his career. It's because he's a hard worker. He doesn't say much, but he shows you by his actions. Every single day he shows up, he's ready to go. So we'll see how he continues to grow and gel with our guys.
All right. Go ahead,
same last one. You talked about Coach Popovich kind of focusing on the little details of the offensive line yesterday. Have you seen him lead his group so far in his first few days? Yeah, Cole has
done
a great job of leading. I say with he's been leading with intent. He's been leading with intensity as well. Like, it's the drill work, he's definitely on it. Like, it all starts there for me with O-line. It's about basic fundamentals and being consistent, and Cole has done that. He's been consistent with his communication with the guys. He knows how to be intense when he needs to be intense, and he knows how to love the guys up when they need to be loved up. So he's done a great job of coaching those guys.
Thank you, Coach.
All right, appreciate it.
That's D'Amico Ryans, the head coach of the Houston Texans today after day two of practice. And what jumped out to you? Because there was one of the things that he came back to a couple of times that I do find to be somewhat interesting.
Well, first of all, you know, the offensive line thing that we know they're going to be alternating, trying to find, you know, he said they have to be versatile, but he's talking about camp. He said he wants them to find their best spot. Then at the end there, you heard about Cole Popovich, of course, but he loves him some Jalen Petrie, man. He goes back to the guys that are him. You know, he wasn't asked about Aziz Alshaier, but Alshaier is basically D'Amico. He joined us. You'll hear from him here in a little bit. Jalen Petrie literally said that's a guy that I really, really like, you know.
For good reason. He had a fantastic play today. If you
course.
Talk about a winner in practice today, he's going to be up there.
He's it.
For sure.
Yeah. So just the guys, and then, of course, Will Anderson. He went back to his, you know, visit, his top 30 visit. So I think what I don't know what you're talking about that really stood out. What stood out to me, there seems to be an even more of a comfort level with what this team is. You know, he talking about how they're practicing and they're crisp and the Petries and the Alshaiers and the Will. I think he just really feels year three, it's a reflection of D'Amico in every way.
And that sounds like a great thing, because
yeah.
You talk about Cap, as he's referred to. That is a fantastic dude to reflect all the way around. All right,
yeah.
So a couple of things for me. You mentioned the offensive line. I did want to get into it because he was, you know, obviously speaking to the ways in which we really harp on who was the first line out, who's the second line out, and he was really talking about, he took the opportunity to talk about backups and how important they are, like having that backup guys. He obviously mentions kind of the roster crunch of not just the 53, but on a game day, you have 46 players active. And so you have to make the most. It's not just those 22 that are going to be playing offense, defense, and then the additional that play special teams. In the car crash sport, as I like to call it, a sport that is a war of attrition, you're going to need guys to step in at various points, and they're going to need to be able to be flexible because you're not going to be able to keep a backup for every single position. And I think when he starts talking about, the swing tackle and everything, I think that speaks directly to Arianti Urseri, who the last 2 days was the first guy on the right tackle side and the first guy on the left tackle side. He is the one of any of the guys that has really demonstrated in these two situations of being a swing tackle. And so I do wonder if that in some ways places him, maybe not on a depth chart, but maybe in a role for this Texans team as of right this moment, of which, again, things can change, but as of right this moment,
I was just gonna say,
he might be sitting in as that is our swing tackle. So that does, bode well for him, at least on being on the roster on game days, but maybe does not necessarily bode well for some of our thoughts to maybe does he usurp right tackle with Blake Fisher or whatever.
Yeah, what I was going to say is for now. Second day of camp, and he made it clear to point out that they're trying to find those guys. That's why they're rotating. But I don't disagree with you. I think, this is where they're penciling him in. He did get the reps at right and left.
And then the thing that I was mentioning that he came back to, when you look at this defense, and I know that he has an idea of, every year is different, but there is one, we're building off of years prior, which is now we don't just want to get sacks.
Yeah.
We want to get ball. We want to get sack fumbles. I found that to be very, very interesting. Yes, 8-3-2, forced fumbles, strip fumbles. This is going to try and be a different level of takeaway defense.
Yeah. And they weren't bad last year.
No. And that the pressure creating interceptions, I could easily see how that returns.
Yeah.
If this defense finds a way to somehow turn up the knob on turnovers, oh, my goodness.
Yeah.
Look,
yeah.
Cancel Christmas.
And, oh, by the way, they got one today.
They sure did.
It was Jalen Petrie with the pick.
Yeah. Look at things coming full circle. Look at God. Don't you love it? Yeah. All right. You're in the loop right here on Sports Radio 610 out here at the Houston Methodist Training Center for day 2 of Texas training camp. Coming up next, we'll do our lunchtime confessions as we always do. Next.